Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's message? The Holy Spirit's Job Description. Listen to the words of St. John in chapter 16. Jesus said, "But I will send the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I soon go to the Father, and you no longer will behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." When you're given an important job to do, a very important document to receive is called a job description. I recall now, 12 years ago, this July, I received, written, typed up, and signed by some strange guy. When I first read it, I said, "How do you pronounce this, Schellenberger?" The president of a congregation saying, "We are calling you to be pastor, and here is your job description. You are to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Run faster than a speeding locomotive." Well, that's a description for Superman. But when you get a job, it's important for all of us to get a job description, so you know what is exactly expected of you, what is the job you're to do. In today's sermon for Pentecost Sunday, Jesus promises that after his resurrection from the dead, ascension into heaven, he will send the Holy Spirit. And in this text, the Holy Spirit has a threefold job description. Look at your sermon outline. It would be important today to follow the sermon outline in your handout I've given to you and take it home with you. The Holy Spirit has a three-part job description. Jesus says, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, convict the world concerning righteousness, and convict the world concerning judgment. Sin, righteousness, judgment. The text from John 16 I just read to you is the fullest description of the work of the Holy Spirit in the entire Bible. It's a very fitting text for Pentecost Sunday, when all we're about today is the person and work of the Holy Spirit. First, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will convict people of sin. Verse 9, Jesus says, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. The root cause of sin in the world, our Lord says, is a refusal to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and we are accountable to God in heaven. The root cause of sin is seen in putting ourselves as the center of everything. I am the most important thing in the universe, says sin. I have no need for God. No need to deal with my sin. Oh, I don't have any. And I have no need for a Savior, says sin. But our dear Lord says in John 8, verse 24, except you believe in me, you will die in your sins. Like a prosecuting attorney, the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world by bringing the guilt of sin to each of our individual hearts. Why? So that our hearts will be disturbed and troubled, and we will seek to run to the cross to get right with God. The Holy Spirit works this conviction in people's hearts as the Word of God is proclaimed. Why do you think we have so much emphasis in our congregation to hear the Word of God from the pulpit, to hear the Word of God in Bible class, and we'll talk about at the end of our service today the new adult instruction class that starts next Sunday? God the Spirit uses the Word of God to convict people of sin that they might turn to their Savior. This happened on the first Pentecost day. You heard what Stephen read in Acts chapter 2. Peter preached his famous Pentecost sermon. 3,000 souls came to faith in Christ in one day, not because of the eloquence of Peter, but due to the convincing and convicting power of the Holy Spirit as people heard the Word of God. At the end of the sermon, listen to what those people said. Man, oh man, I wish I heard this after every Sunday sermon. Listen to what they said. When they heard the sermon, They were pierced to the heart, and they asked Peter, "What must we do?" Friends, we cannot convict people. People cannot convict themselves. Our only job is to proclaim God's word. Now listen very carefully to this next sentence. Our only job as Christians in this godless century is to continue to preach the purity of God's word and to invite others to come to the place where God's word is proclaimed. Just imagine for a moment how the world around us could be changed, how the church would grow so large we couldn't even house everybody on Sunday, if each Christian believer would not see Sunday just as a reason to go to church to hear the word, but as a reason and a place to bring others to come to hear the word of God, that Spirit might convict them of sin and the Savior for their sin. The truth is, the typical unbeliever today does not look upon unbelief as sin. If anything, just the opposite. The typical unbeliever looks as unbelief as intellectual sophistication. Oh, you can believe that Jesus nonsense if you want, but I'm too sophisticated for that. This is when the proclamation of God's law is needed to reveal that sinful, prideful rejection of God. And look around our world today. The rejection of God leads to brokenness, hopelessness, and destruction. Yes, the gospel of God is the proclamation of God's love for all people to comfort those who are afflicted by their sin. But it's also necessary, says our Lutheran theology, not just to proclaim the gospel, but to proclaim the law of God's judgment to afflict people who are comfortable in sin. And the Holy Spirit convicts sinners for one reason, not just to make them feel bad, but they turn to the forgiving and healing arms of God. Yes, number one, the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. What does your outline say for the next job of the Spirit? What does it say? Tell me. Conviction. Secondly, Jesus says the Holy Spirit brings a conviction of righteousness. John 16:10 says this. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come and convict the world concerning righteousness. Righteousness is a right relationship between you and God. And the Holy Spirit reveals or convicts people that true righteousness with God is not based on our good works or trying to keep God's commandments. Righteousness with God is a gift. Look what Romans 3:23 says, how important this gift is. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But Ephesians 2 says, "Righteousness is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." None of us are righteous on our own. The Holy Spirit convicts us of this truth. But that's not all that He does. He also shows us where true righteousness is to be found. So when the Spirit convicts or convinces people of righteousness, He does two jobs. He teaches us, I am not righteous in myself, but I know where I can find true righteousness. And Romans 3:22 says, the righteousness of God is through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe. How many of you have ever been to court? Oh, a few. I could see. Yeah, Brad, you've probably been there quite a few times. I'm joking, of course. In a human court of law, conviction leads to judgment, and judgment then leads to punishment. But Almighty God turns His process all around. God's conviction leads to righteousness. God makes the unrighteous person righteous. And He makes us righteous through the life, death, and resurrection of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. What a gift! And this is what God has done for us, and this is what the Bible calls grace. What is grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. the very riches of God, life and salvation and forgiveness, God's riches, but they came at Christ's expense. This is grace. Ephesians 2 puts it this way, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not by your works, so no one can boast." When the Holy Spirit brings this truth to a person, that my righteousness is found in Christ alone, he is convicting them, as Jesus says, of righteousness, that a right relationship to God is given to us because of Jesus, our Savior. Well, in John 16, Jesus says the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, of righteousness. What's the last point on your outline? Of judgment. Verse 11 says, "And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." The ruler of this world means the devil. The devil has been judged and sentenced at the cross of our Savior. Jesus said this in John chapter 12. "Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself." When I am lifted up, Jesus means, when I die on the cross for sins of the world and rise from the grave, I will draw people to myself, and that cross is the courtroom where the devil is condemned. God's Good Friday cross and his Easter Sunday empty grave is his courtroom where the devil is defeated. The devil is judged, and sin and death are judged as well. But the Bible also clearly tells us that judgment day will come for every sinner, every person. 2 Peter 2:9 says this, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly and reserve the unjust to the day of judgment." Jesus told us earlier in verse 11 of John 16, the ruler of this world, the devil, is judged. His doom is sealed. But also in the devil's judgment, the world sees its own judgment. Please listen carefully to these very somber words. If a person rejects Jesus who has died for him, if a person rejects Jesus who has taken away her sin, if a person rejects Jesus, who at the cross and empty grave have given them the gift of righteousness, then Scripture clearly tells us that person will experience eternal judgment. The Bible calls that hell. But hell is the devil's realm. It's not God's desire for any person. The Bible is so clear on this. You know the most precious verse that says, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Our John 16 text for Pentecost Sunday has told us that the cross and empty grave of Jesus, the devil has been judged and defeated. He's beaten. That's wonderful news for anyone who humbly puts their faith in Christ the Savior. The devil is defeated. In the Middle Ages, about 1200 to 1500 AD, a very famous drama was performed in the Christian church. It was called The Heroine of Hell. Does anybody here know, and I can bug Bev Sempert, I know you know. Anybody else know what the process of harrowing means? I see a couple hands up there. Okay. To harrow is a farming term which means to plow up or turn a field completely upside down. Everything is all ground up. What was below comes on top. It's all turned upside down for the purpose of getting the crop ready to be planted. This drama was called The Heroine of Hell. In this drama, our Lord Jesus, after his victorious resurrection victory on Easter Sunday, marches to the pits of hell, takes one demon by the scruff of his neck, throws him this way, another one this way, kicks a demon this way, marches to the very throne of the devil in all his resurrection glory, And he spits in the face of the devil, takes the crown off the devil's head, and he says, you thought you were the ruler of this world. And in his nail-pierced hands, he crushes the throne and the crown of Satan and says, and now I have come for you. Look at St. Peter sometime where it says in the third chapter, Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison. That means he proclaimed his victory. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Christ is risen. And that was the message he proclaimed as he descended into hell for us. We say that every time we say the creed. And he descended into hell. Why? To proclaim his victory. That at the cross and empty grave, the ruler of this world has been judged. He declared to the devil, who is now shaking with fear, you thought you had me on Friday, didn't you? You thought at the cross you had won. Well, that was Friday, and today is Sunday, and I'm alive, and I've come for you, and you are judged. Today, O devil, is your judgment day. You, sin, and death are defeated. I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, by the way, he is risen. He is risen. My friends, on this Pentecost Sunday, as the Holy Spirit of God brings these truths to your heart, as the Spirit of God convicts the world of sin, of righteousness only found in Christ, and the judgment of the devil forever, on this Pentecost Sunday, we are also reminded that we, the church, are to be co-witnesses with the Holy Spirit. We've learned today the work of the Spirit is to be a witness, to convict the world of sin, to convict the world of righteousness, to convict the world of judgment. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit does his work through his people. As Jesus promised in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Regarding the Holy Spirit, Jesus says in John 16, our text for today, I will send him to you. And the Holy Spirit does his work when the good news of Jesus is proclaimed by the words and deeds of his people today. And others are invited to the place where the Spirit can do his work. Will you please bow your heads with me in prayer? Dear Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday, help us as a congregation and as families and as individuals to be co-witnesses with the Holy Spirit. Keep us faithful to this task. Help us to be your church, your people, whose witness of word and deed and invitation you will use to convict others of sin, of judgment, and especially of the righteousness found only in Jesus. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.